10 to 5 live. The Canad Inns Polo Park from the Hockey Manitoba 100th Anniversary Gala. Richard Pollock, Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsburg, Jesse Pelche on location. Drew Mandel, if you forgot about him. By the way, I should mention, I'm walking down. Drew Mandel's back next week. Forget about him.
Nobody cares.
Well, exactly. Exactly. You know, to that point. So I'm walking, I'm enjoying myself walking down a street in the, you know, west end of Winnipeg. Enjoying myself, walking by a nice restaurant, and I get waved down from somebody in the restaurant. So I'm thinking, who's waving me down from inside the, you know, window of this busy restaurant? So the gentleman calls me, and so I have to stop, back up, and go inside the restaurant and talk to him. I approach him. Who is it? None other than Drew's dad, Sheldon Mandel. And he says, you have to stop bad-talking my son when he's not on the air with you. I said, Sheldon. Drew's dad's name is Sheldon. I said, Sheldon. We bad talking him when he's on the show and when he's not on the show. That's part of the charm.
Has Sheldon not been listening to the show for the last 6 years? We all bad talk each other.
Isn't that
why we created a radio show in the first place?
That's actually the exact reason why we created the show. And the last place I actually seen Sheldon was Bernstein's Deli, and the segment's brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, the official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey. Conveniently located at Cordon and Lanark in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's is a family-owned and operated traditional-style deli. Take it home or eat it in their full-service restaurant. Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for nearly 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook. I got Dave and Ezzy here. Or on bernsteinsdeli.com. No, it's hard to... The problem...
I could really go for a corned beef sandwich right now, I'll tell you that. All of this food...
I gotta bring the listeners into this place.
You gonna paint a picture?
So, yeah, paint a picture, because before we talk about Todd McClellan, I'll paint a picture about him. Hopefully that won't take too long. We are at the Hockey Manitoba Gala, and usually you have Ezzy and Dave in a studio, or, you know, at Boston Pizza, and, you know, it's a more of a confined space. You can have them focusing on the conversation. I got these two guys here. It's like a dog by a window. As soon as anybody walks by, they immediately start following this way and that. I look over. I don't know where anybody is. They're laughing, so, you know, it's hard for me to
keep my... It's a festive atmosphere.
Yeah, it's hard for me to keep my composure.
We're just excited. There's 100 years of history, Richie. We're having trouble containing ourselves.
All right.
We're also not allowed out a lot with people, so this is kind of a nice change for us.
Yeah, usually it's just I go to Dave's, Dave comes to my house.
Yeah.
You know, we watch hockey maybe once in a while. Every 2 weeks, Richie will invite us to his condo.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not used to being around this many people. It's overstimulating.
Todd McClellan might be overstimulated, of course, by the interest that he's receiving on the market. He's already been interviewed by Peter Chiarelli and the Edmonton Oilers, and there's interest from the Toronto Maple Leafs and many other teams with vacant coaching positions. What do you think happens, Ezzy, with Todd McClellan? I guess first part of that question is, do you think, and Pierre LeBrun alluded to this yesterday when I was filling in for Gary with Hustler on HNL, do you think Babcock has to make his decision first before McClellan does? Or do you think McClellan can possibly line up a gig before Babcock and kind of set the market himself?
And he's got a gig right now. He's coaching Team Canada at the World Championships.
Which is like kind of a good PR thing too, right?
Absolutely, Richie. I'm a huge Todd McClellan fan. I think Todd McClellan, you know, has done an excellent job with the San Jose Sharks over the years. I think this year...
Never won.
This year was a lame duck. Well, yeah, he clearly failed to turn good regular seasons, Rich, into long drives. And we saw... you know, the San Jose Sharks this year really self-destruct. I mean, this was one of the worst years for the San Jose Sharks, I think, in their history. And you had Joe Thornton kind of questioning Todd McClellan, in addition to Doug Murray, Richie. So I think, back to your question, I think Mike Babcock's
decision... Doug Wilson, you mean.
Sorry, Doug Wilson. What did I say?
Doug Murray, former defenseman.
Doug Wilson. Yeah, there's so many names floating around here that I'm getting confused here. But you look at Todd McClellan, and he has to have... certain teams in mind, and both of them are already talking to teams. And Edmonton is a team that we hear that Todd McClellan... To me, Todd McClellan will be great for Edmonton as well. This Edmonton Oilers team needs a coach with NHL experience. Dallas Eakins didn't have that.
I agree with you, for
and
sure.
You can't have... You look at the Edmonton Oilers, and for Todd McClellan, again, he's from Saskatchewan. It's got to be appealing, a young team. Let's be honest.
For sure.
I think everybody wants to go to Edmonton. And, you know, sure, New Jersey Devils... You got Ray Shiro there. I think the New Jersey Devils, I think, are and Philadelphia
Flyers. A long rebuild,
though. Yeah, it's a long rebuild, and, you know, it depends. You know, do they trade that pick? who do they pick? It's a deep draft. I mean, it's
the Philly defense. The Leafs have nobody.
Philly, I think, has the. If you look at all these teams, Philly is probably a little bit more appealing than New Jersey. And
I could see
Todd McClellan going to Philly. I think when you're talking about Mike Babcock, he's a step above everyone as far as and that's not to take anything away from Todd McClellan.
I agree with you there.
But
though.
I think Mike
he's
Babcock,
proven himself
yeah,
more.
He's proven himself at that elite level at the Olympics, the Stanley Cup, going to the Stanley Cups. So I think it's going to depend on where Mike Babcock goes, and I wouldn't be surprised if he signs with an NHL team before Todd McClellan.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think McClellan is waiting because I shouldn't say that. I don't think McClellan's waiting. I think McClellan, if the Oilers walk up to him and said, "You want the job?" he takes it tomorrow.
Yes.
I think what the teams are doing is they're waiting on Babcock. Let's be realistic.
Yes.
Every single NHL team that has a coaching vacancy right now is hoping that he's willing to come over and have a conversation with them and give them an opportunity. And literally, unless you're a team that's on the lower end of spending, your checkbook is open, and you're waiting for Mike Babcock to make that decision. And once he does, that's when the dominoes, in my mind, that's when the dominoes fall. I think McClellan goes. I think, like, you'll see the whole gamut of coaches who are ready to be, you know, get new NHL opportunities really start to kind of fall into place. But I really don't think that happens until because just think about it like this. It's a famous expression. So you're saying there's a chance. If you think you're an NHL team and you think that you have a chance at Mike Babcock, then you're going to do everything you can, even if McClellan, and as you said, Richard, the truth is he's a good coach, and he's coached well at a lot of levels. Now, he hasn't won the Stanley Cup championship, which is a barometer.
He won in Houston, though, in the AHL, but yeah.
Right, but you know what I'm saying is the National Hockey League level. So you know what, he's absolutely a great coach. He's a dynamic coach. But again, I think that Babcock is the one who's going to set the stage, and then everyone will fall into place.
What about this guy? I haven't really thought about this too much. I'm thinking about it right now, and I probably ought to have thought about it. What about this? Todd McClellan and other coaching candidates. I know Jeff Blashill, the AHL coach of the Red Wings, is well-regarded, but there's no guarantee he'll be the guy. What about some guys waiting on Babcock to leave Detroit and possibly McClellan going back to Detroit and getting that job?
It's a good point, Rich. And, you know, we haven't talked that much about Toronto. And, you know, you have
Who wants that job?
Well,
that
I'm just saying Toronto needs a coach, right, Rich? So you're talking about if McClellan and Babcock choose, let's say, Detroit, Edmonton, Philly, New Jersey, then you're looking at, is it a Pete DeBoer? Is it a Dan Bylsma? Is it a Paul McClain?
Is it a Randy Carlyle?
Is it a Randy? Well, yeah. No, for Toronto I'm talking about.
Oh, for Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, Randy Carlyle.
That'd be amazing.
Randy Carlyle, I think, is going to go back to Toronto. He had a good time there with Phil Kessel, Rich, and he's going to go for round two.
Paul McClain didn't take the job on an interim basis, and that was offered to him in Toronto.
Yeah, and I think we all agreed that was a good decision. Peter Horacek, we knew that, you know, he was just there for an interim type of position, Rich. But, you know, back to your point, I think there are connections here, and especially when you're talking about guys that have been in the hockey business for a long time. There, you know, you mentioned Todd McClellan was an assistant under Mike Babcock. I think that, you know, Jeff Blashill is a guy, you hear about how good he's done with the Grand Rapids. Everyone seems to have him pegged as Mike Babcock's successor. That might happen, Rich, but there's a lot of good. The coaching free agent market, we've said it now for 2 or 3 weeks, is going to be more interesting. The coaches free agent market is going to be more interesting than the players free agent market, probably. And, you know, that's a good team. If you're a fan of some of these teams, you know you're going to get a good veteran NHL coach.
To me, there's talk about appealing guys quickly before we go to break. We're hoping to have Reggie Leach on after the break. To me, like, if you look at all the jobs available, New Jersey's not that appealing based on the roster construction. Philly's not even that appealing, although both those organizations have won before. Philly and New Jersey aren't that appealing. San Jose is a winning organization, but kind of, to me, on the way down. Toronto seems like a lost cause right now. Like, there's only really a couple good. There's a lot of openings, and maybe even Hitchcock leaves St. Louis. But the point is, Edmonton on the way up, Buffalo on the way up with both tons of young talent, and Detroit actually has a lot of young talent still, even though they have the veterans are kind of, you know, are on their last couple of years, as you mentioned. So I don't think there's as many good jobs as there are good coaches. But maybe those good coaches will go to the jobs that aren't that appealing and make themselves look even better. So it makes for interesting, you know, theater, and we're looking forward to seeing what happens. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're hoping to have Reggie Leach, the Riverton Rifle, on to talk about. Oh, there he is. Looks like he just stepped in to talk about his career, obviously, Philadelphia Flyers, Hockey Manitoba, so much more. You're listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show from Canadiens Polo Park, the Hockey Manitoba 100th Anniversary Gala, live on TSN 1290. 5 o'clock. Legal Curve Hockey Show is live from the Hockey Manitoba 100th Anniversary Gala at Canadiens Polo Park, and it's starting to get busy in here. Dave Manuk, Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg, Jesse Peltier. This segment is brought to you by Frank Zappia and Mauro Zappia of the Zappia Realty Group, official realtor of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and total dedication to client satisfaction. For all your real estate needs, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia online at zappiagroup.com or 204-772-2100. That's 204-772-2100. Reggie Leach is going to join us, the Riverton Rifle legendary Philadelphia Flyers forward, is going to join us in a couple of minutes as he's just chatting with him over there. And, you know, you look at Reggie Leach's career numbers, and you always kind of do this when you have on a legendary hockey player. We had Denny Potvin on, Dave, last week, and going over Denny Potvin had a point a game for his whole career, which was really incredible. And it was incredible to see that. And you look at Reggie Leach's figures. He scored 61 goals one year, 1975-76, and then 24 points in 16 games. Reggie Leach joins us now on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Reggie, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing really well. It's a great event today and a 100th anniversary gala, and starting to get busy. And what are your thoughts on a day, night like tonight?
I think anything that, you know, goes 100 years, you know, you got to get a lot of credit. You know, it's I think especially with Hockey Manitoba, it's, you know, all the guys that played hockey in Manitoba, that's where we came from. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have been so successful.
And we're talking just before you hopped on about your Philadelphia Flyers, some of the numbers you put up. Flynn Flon Bomber numbers. You put up 131 points in 59 games in 1967-68.
Well, that was the years of no goaltenders.
Literally nobody in net.
Right, nobody in net. He just took a few shots. That was it. So,
you talk about those years, though, in Flin Flon, as he's, of course, dad is from Flin Flon, and yes, kind of been chatting about that. But you talk about those years?
You know what? But, you know, when you grow up, you know, most of the time, kids today, myself even, we go to different towns as young kids, 15, 16-year-olds, and our goal is to make it a National Hockey League. And I happened to, you know, luck out and go to Flin Flon. And one of the reasons I went to Flin Flon that year was that because they were the worst team.
Okay.
They only won 5 games all year, so I figured I'd have a good chance of making it.
Yeah.
So I went there, and that's where everything happened. You know, when I went to Flin Flon, I was actually a defenseman.
Really?
And then Pat Janelle was a new coach at that time, and everything was all new at that time, and he put me up forward, and it happened to have a little guy there named Bobby Clark there. So
did you hesitate at first when he tried to move you to forward when you were comfortable defense?
I don't recall, but I think that it was probably because I was more like a Russian defenseman, so yeah, might as well be up there.
Yeah.
So,
you know, Reggie, Richie mentioned, you know, your goal scoring prowess, and you actually were the first person to win the Conn Smythe Trophy on a team that didn't win the Stanley Cup the year after the Flyers won their second Stanley Cup, scored 19 goals. Yeah. When you look at today's playoffs and the lack of goal scoring, do you kind of wish there was more goals? And I guess it's the second part of that question. Who to you excites you right now as one of the best goal scorers in the NHL?
Well, you know, Stankos is really good. You know, I like him the way he comes off the wing and shoots the puck. You know, today's hockey is so much different than ours. It's hockey today is all set up for the one-timers. And you know, it was like when we played, we shot the puck anyway. It didn't matter where we were at. And you know, the kids today, they get 5, 6, 7 shots a game. That's lots. You know, we used to get that. Sometimes you got that in one period. But, you know, it's changed. Today's hockey, I actually like it now. You know, these players are so skilled and so powerful. And you know, like I always say that everybody changes. Every 5 or 6 years, hockey changes. And you know, they always want to compare the 70s and 80s, 90s. You can't compare them because it's different eras, different people. So hockey was back, you know, different in the 50s, 60s, 70s. And it just keeps on going. Today's hockey, you know, with the Jets, it's just amazing how good these guys are and how they can handle the puck. And everybody complains about, oh, there's hardly any hitting. There's a lot of hitting. You just got to, you know, there's more rules. I don't think we had any rules when we played, but there's a lot more rules.
Now, Reggie, what was the transition like for you from going from rural Manitoba to a city like Boston where you played your first NHL team?
You know, I think it's hard on everybody, you know, because I think the kids today are taught in junior hockey. When they move on, they're advised by a lot of good advisors along the way. You know, most of us kids are farm kids or come out of small little communities. And going for me, just to go from Riverton to Flin Flon was a big major step for me. You know, all of a sudden I'm living in a town that's 15,000 people. And, you know, that's a huge place for us. And going to Boston, you know, I it was an experience for me. You know, it was fun, you know, you learn a lot of stuff along the way. And it's, you know, when you play in a big city, and I think the first couple of years you're so excited about being there, and you don't really concentrate on hockey. You're always watching what everybody else is doing. And here I am, I'm a 20-year-old kid, and I'm in the same dressing room as Bobby Orr, and I'm watching you guys dress. And I, you know, when I went to Boston, I know for a fact that I did not think I would fit in, because I didn't think, you know, you always dreamt about being there, and these guys are just won the Stanley Cup, and I said, what am I doing in here with these guys? There's no way I can play with these guys. But, you know, after a while, after the first 3 or 4 months I was there, I said, these guys are no better than I am. So that's when it started to kick in. You have your doubts at first.
Really interesting stuff. We're joined by Reggie Leach. We're live at the Hockey Manitoba 100th Anniversary Gala at Canadiens Polo Park. Getting busy in here, and we're, you know, it's having a real interesting conversation. Reggie, you mentioned Bobby Orr. I wanted to ask you about Fred Shiro in a second, but you mentioned Bobby Orr. How good was Bobby Orr? Like, in person, you know, we're too young to have seen him play, but can you talk to our, you know, tell our listeners just how good he was?
You know what? The first year I turned pro, I think that was the best year that Orr had. I think he had 138 points or 160 points that year. And I had the best seat in the house because I never played with Boston. I sat on the bench, opened the door. So I had, you know, ice view all the time. And he was just amazing, what he could do with the puck. And that whole Esposito and those guys at that time, they were just amazing what kind of hockey they played. And, you know, today I still think that Orr is the best defenseman ever put on a pair of skates. You know, you got to think that, you know, he turned pro in 66, retired in 76, and he only had about 6 healthy years. He got hurt in 72, and, you know, the numbers that he put in that short period of time is just amazing. You know, and if you looked at him and watched him, the things he did, it just came natural. It was, you know, half the time his skates were only tied half tight. They were loose, and they all wobble around, and away he goes, and... But he was the type of, you know, I recall him in the dressing room 3 or 4 hours before game time and just fooling around, getting himself ready and psyched up. And, you know, it's just amazing. You know, like I always say that I'm the luckiest person in the world. I got to play against all of my heroes. Gordie Howe was my hero growing up. And you know, playing in Flin Flon was a real experience. I spent 4 years there. I always tell everybody when I was in Flin Flon, I come there as a kid and left there as a young man. So it's been great.
It was great so far. And, you know, we're at the Hockey Manitoba Gala, Reggie, and Fred Shiro, coach of your Philadelphia Flyers, from Winnipeg. So, you know, the ties to Manitoba. And we had a fellow on from New Jersey earlier talk about Ray Shiro getting hired as the general manager. Can you talk about Fred Shiro's role and what he was like as a coach? And we hear so much about the role he had with all the Philadelphia Flyers and their lives, more so even than their careers.
Well, Freddie was a laid-back. He only came on ice maybe 20 minutes a day, 25 minutes of practice. But he always said, guys, when we're out here for a short time, give me all you have for 20 minutes. Listen to it for once, right? And I can recall him. We would do the same drill day in, day out for the first 20 minutes of each practice, and we never used it in the game. Never.
Really?
And everybody said, oh, boy, he's really losing it now. But what happened was that he was actually getting us ready for the new system come playoff time. Oh. So end of February, he said, okay, boys, let's switch over. And he was so far advanced with the hockey skills. And, you know, I always laugh about he used to put little notes in my locker room to motivate me because I wasn't the greatest motivator around. And I would always say, Freddie, what's this note mean? Could you explain it to me? So all these little things that he come in, but as a person, as you know, he studied the Russian system. He went down there and that, and you know, Freddie was a very nice guy. He was laid back, and you know, his assistant did most of the work and like practicing and stuff. But overall, he was very, very, very. He watched the tapes. He knew what the other teams were doing all the time, and it was up to us to just sort of listen to him and go in his direction.
Now, Reggie, we mentioned that you played your junior hockey in Flin Flon with Bobby Clark.
Yeah.
How special was it to play junior with Bobby Clark and then transition into the NHL later on with Bobby Clark? And what made those teams, especially the Stanley Cup winning team, so special?
You know, if you look at our roster, when I played when I went to the Flyers the first year, you know, I struggled. I struggled because, you know, I played in California. It was like having a holiday for 8 months. And you know, I went there, and all of a sudden, now I got to learn a system. Now I got to get in shape. And you know, I put Clark in a bad spot there because of he said I scored 45 goals in a bad year, and I had 4 goals at Christmas time. And, you know, it was one of those things that were, you know, I think that what happened is that I wasn't used to back-checking. And I concentrated too much on that end of the game. And finally, Clarkie and Billy Barber come to me one time. He said, don't even worry about the back check. We'll do that for you. You go ahead and start scoring goals. And that's where everything turned around for me. You know, now I could skate where I wanted to and get into the place. And for me, with Clarkie, is that I played with him in junior. And he knew that I could get into open spots anytime I wanted. And, you know, I was fast enough, I could shoot the puck. And that's what we did. So it worked for with Bob, Bill Barber, myself, and Clark. It was a perfect combination.
Reggie, every kid from Manitoba, Canada, has dreamt of lifting the Stanley Cup. What did it mean to you when you got your opportunity to finally grab the cup after you guys won?
You know, the thing is that, you know, I remember winning a cup in Buffalo, and you know, you get that great feeling and everything else, and you know, but you really don't appreciate anything till after you're out of hockey, because hockey. You know, I played pro 13 years, and you go through your all ups and downs, and, you know, you win certain things. But once you're out of hockey and you reflect back of what happened, you know, like you're talking about a while ago, how special were these teams I played on? You know, I played on teams that we went 35 games without a loss. We won a Stanley Cup, went to the finals 3 times. You know, so now you reflect back of, you know, all these things that did. Even at the record, we went that 1 year at 35 without a loss for 35 games. And, you know, I remember times that we were down 3 or 4 goals with 2 minutes to go, and we knew we were going to tie it up or win it. And it was just those things that you get so much confidence and everything. And even the year that we did the 35 games, you look at their roster, you would never say, who are these guys? And most of the guys were all guys that were guys from Maine Mariners, played with Pat Quinn the year before, and Quinn bought them all up. And Quinner was a great coach, and I think that's one of the reasons why we did so well that year.
So, interesting, you look at this roster, Reggie, the Philadelphia Flyers roster, and you watch a documentary that they had on the Broad Street Bullies, I think it was 2 years ago, but how most of the players are still tied to each other or tied to the organization. What made those rooms so close? And maybe it's you know, you're going to think back to appreciating it more after the fact, but it seemed like those teams were more cohesive than most teams you see, especially even today.
Well, I think back then is that, you know, we did everything together. Didn't matter off ice or on ice. But there, we included the families also. It wasn't just the player. In Philadelphia, it was always, if there was a team party, it included the wives and children and everything else. So everybody worked together as one thing. I think that's a big difference today. I think today's hockey players are mostly, for business-wise, it's a business thing. I would probably do the same thing with money that they're making. You know, but, you know, they still earn it. I'm happy that they make it because of all the years that we were, I call, underpaid. And it's about time the owners start dishing it out.
You know, Reggie, we've talked a lot about your career, which is an awesome career. I think you should be in the Hall of Fame. When you talk about the 100th anniversary of Hockey Manitoba and, you know, all of the other ex-players and, you know, officials and everything like that, what are you most looking forward to for tonight?
I think it's just a matter of, I haven't seen a lot of these players around for years. I just walked in here before you guys grabbed me. And Abby McDonald, I haven't seen him for years. And it's going to be, for me, a pleasure to meet these guys again, because Abby was actually one of my heroes when he was already playing pro. And I met him as a junior player. And, you know, there's different other players that I knew that played at that time. And, you know, it's going to be a special evening all around for everybody, I think. You know, I know that when they put on something like this, a very, very, very special occasion for everybody. And I hope that everybody just has a good time and just go with the flow, and that's it.
We'll let you enjoy it, Reggie. We appreciate you coming here and taking some time to talk to us, and hope you have a great time, and we appreciate it very much.
Good. Thanks, guys. Good luck.
That's Reggie Leach, Riverton Rifle, legendary Philadelphia Flyers and NHL player. It's just a thrill to have him on. If you grew up in a home, and like all of us did, Winnipeg guys, you know, your dad, my dad, I was talking about Reggie Leach and how great of a shot he had and how great of a player. So a real thrill to have him on.
We didn't even get into Reggie was on the 1976 Canada Cup team.
I want to get into that. Was he in the game when the Russians left the ice? I was going to, you know, I didn't want to keep him any longer.
They're going home, though. That's the Bob Cole Hall of Fame. I mean, again, Reggie Leach is the first player to win the Conn Smythe Trophy on a team that didn't win the Stanley Cup. You know, Ron Hextall did it. J.S. Giguere did it. He was the first. I mean, that year, 19 goals. Have the Montreal Canadiens even scored 19 goals in this year's playoffs?
Yeah, that's unbelievable. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Montreal Canadiens, Tampa Bay Lightning. We haven't even talked about that series yet. Show's gone by quick. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show at the Can-Add-Ins Polo Park for Hockey Manitoba 100th Anniversary Gala on TSN 1290. Quarter after five, just past that, quarter after five on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live at the Can-Add-Ins Polo Park for the Hockey Manitoba 100th Anniversary Gala. Getting packed in here right now. Everybody is dressed quite well. Suits, ties, some tuxedos even. Richard Pollock, I'm filling in as host today for Drew Mandel, who will return next Saturday when we're back to our usual 9 to 12. Just a little note there. Eddie Ginsberg, Dave Manuk, Jesse Pelche doing a great job with all the noise and distraction. Quickly, Ezzy, before we kind of recap that interview and talk about the Bolts and the Habs, this segment's brought to you by Royal Sports. Since 1974, Royal Sports has been Winnipeg's number one hockey shop, plus so much more, like soccer to snowboards. For locations, hours, and more, check them out online at royalsports.me. Pretty big throw for you, Ezzy. I mean, your dad grew up in Flin Flon, as we alluded to. That's pretty special.
It really is, and you know, Richie, for me growing up, my dad was obviously always talking about being a big hockey fan himself, supporting the Flin Flon Bombers, who were in the Western Hockey League at that time. Now, of course, in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League.
Yeah.
But, you know, Reggie Leach and Bobby Clark and how special those teams were. And the fact that they were able to then go into the NHL and win Stanley Cups, you know, it's incredible. Super nice guy. And, you know, that was a thrill of a lifetime. Again, you know, he was one of the greatest goal scorers of his era, and so it's a thrill to have him on.
Scored 61 goals in 75-76.
Unbelievable.
Just to hear the way he talks, like he's very humble.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you can hear it. He's genuinely happy about the way NHL players in today's day and age get paid, even though, like, it's crazy to me if you think about it. Here's a guy who scored 61 goals, probably made, like, 25, 30 grand, and you're sitting there going, like, there's guys who make...
I know.
$4 million.
They can't score 61 goals in their whole career.
They can't get 61 points.
Yeah, 61 points.
Like, it's like, are you kidding me? So it's crazy. What a change. But anyway, he's just such a nice guy. I mean, it was just a terrific opportunity to have a conversation with a legend.
His teammate on those, okay, let's do a little transition here. We'll do a little channel inner Ron McClain.
Sure.
His teammate on one of those Flyers teams was Bobby Taylor, who does color now for the Tampa Bay Lightning, who everybody thought was going to be defeating the Montreal Canadiens in four straight, but the Habs, after in my opinion, outplaying the Bolts in Game 3 and, you know, losing in the last second, heartbreaker, come back and demolish them in Game 4. Game 5 tonight, 6 p.m. Habs win this one. To get a little scary for the Bolts. What do you guys think?
Well, it was nice to see guys, the Montreal Canadiens, come back and win a game. I don't think anybody likes to see sweeps anymore.
No. Do they ever?
No, I don't think so. And, you know, the Montreal Canadiens, they're starting to get some secondary scoring. David Desharnais scored his first goal of the playoffs. Alex Galchenyuk had a good game. I mean, this Habs team, I mean, they were relying a lot on the fourth line. And P.K. Subban and Andre Markov for all their goals. Brendan Gallagher, to me, has been their most consistent forward, along with Max Pacioretty, of course, their best goal scorer. But, you know, the Montreal Canadiens, I think, surprised the Tampa Bay Lightning a bit. And Ben Bishop, I mean, nobody thought Ben Bishop, the way he was playing entering that game, that he was going to be pulled for Andre Vasilevsky. So, you know, hey, Montreal Canadiens, they might make a series of it here.
You know, Montreal, I wasn't terribly surprised by the fact that they played as well as they did coming out. Because I just, especially when early on, you know, that Markov gets the first goal on the first shot.
Yeah.
Bishop's eyes following, like, it was like, where did Markov appear from? And Subban made a beautiful play to draw all the attention to himself and cutting right in the pass
that
over
goal,
to Markov.
That goal, Dave, if you remember game one, was exactly like Max Pacioretty's goal.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, when it happened, I thought to myself, like, is this happening again with the glove hand and the puck coming up?
He's been up and down.
Well, you know what? And it was an interesting comment by Subban after the game because they said
crap-talked him.
A little bit. He basically said, you know, like he's been very lucky. He's had a horseshoe, and we feel like the horseshoe's been pulled.
When you're down 3-0, 3-1, you can say whatever you want because like you're expected to lose at that point.
Yeah.
He wouldn't say that up 3-1.
No, of course not. Of course not. No, he's and the truth is they're hoping to do whatever they can to get into Ben Bishop's head.
I agree.
And Ben Bishop has been, especially this season, he's been very bad in back-to-backs.
And, you know, it's surprising that he even played back-to-back in the playoffs. And I was surprised how well the Habs played in a back-to-back considering how they lost the game before.
And their backs, no pun intended, were up against the wall in that game, right? So you're thinking to yourself, okay, they're going to come out. You're expecting them to come out hard. And to be honest with you, once it was 2-0, I felt like the game was over. Like, I just felt like that Montreal had that game wrapped up at 2-0. And I didn't think Tampa was going to do anything to come back from it. I mean, they could have, obviously, but I just thought Montreal was in, had it in gear finally. They finally seemed to have it all clicking. And like Ezzy was saying, they're finally getting scoring from everywhere. And it was important. And to be honest with you, and I could be wrong as of tonight, I think Montreal's going to make a series of this. I really do.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Dave, you got to give the Montreal Canadiens credit. The Game 3 loss, the Tyler Johnson last second goal, was completely heartbreaking. Whether or not you're a fan of the Montreal Canadiens or not, guy scores with a second left, thinking the game's going to go to overtime. Give the Montreal Canadiens credit. Max Pacioretty gets a big shorthanded goal. You know, they get some goals from players that have been struggling. We mentioned David Desharnais. So you got to give them credit for fighting back and at least winning a game here. You know, this Tampa Bay Lightning team is good, and I you know that Ben Bishop isn't going to let in three quick goals like he did in Game 4. Not saying that the Montreal Canadiens can't win tonight, Dave, but it's going to be definitely tough for them to win three games in a row here. The Tampa Bay Lightning aren't the type of team that I think it's going to be easy to do that. But, hey, if they get some more balanced scoring, that's the key. They weren't getting that, and they weren't even creating chances. You mentioned, Dave, they weren't creating much. I mean, Tampa Bay Lightning were shutting them down. That pair of Victor Hedman and Anton Stroman was completely shutting down the Montreal Canadiens' top line and top players. So, I mean, they could, whenever you have Carey Price, you know that there's a chance that he can steal the game on his own. Mm-hmm. And he didn't need to do that in Game 4, but he can do it. We know that.
I think Markov getting on the board, too, gives them confidence because he's been getting torched this most of the series.
Yeah.
His speed's been an issue. His lack of speed's been an issue because it's a fast game. These two teams are really quick. Like, I think Tampa would have trouble with the Washington team, a physical team. Chris Dingman came on our show midseason and said, you know, Tampa, skill-wise,
both teams. Montreal,
I agree.
Montreal's a bad Montreal. And we've said this time and time again, guys like Tyler Johnson, Brendan Gallagher, I'm a guy who's 5'9". I watch these guys, and I root for those guys.
Yep.
But the problem is, especially when you get against some of the bigger teams, the Western Conference teams, the Anaheim Ducks would eat up the Montreal Canadiens in a 7-game series, I think, just because as soon as you work it down low, these guys, you can't defend against the Getzlaffs and the Perrys and the Bileskis. Obviously, they're not going to face those guys unless they get to the Stanley Cup Finals, and the Ducks do. But you're right, Dave. I mean, they didn't look like a cohesive team. I mean, they weren't playing well 5-on-5. The Lightning were dominating. They weren't able to kind of use time and space. And this has been the story all year for the Montreal Canadiens. They were, what, 20th in the NHL in goals scored? Goals for? So it's not like the Montreal Canadiens were scoring a boatload of goals, Dave, during the regular season.
If I'm Michel Therrien, my angle here is, well, hold on, guys. The Lightning kind of outplayed the Wings in the first two games. But the last five games, the Wings were probably the better team. I think probably they were the better team. And I'm saying, well, hold on, look at the script here, guys. We got outplayed in the first two games. I mean, game one, you could, you know, say they should have had a lead early and all that stuff, but game two, they got outplayed.
Yep.
Game three, I thought they outplayed the Lightning. And then game four, they did.
Oh, game three, they absolutely outplayed the Lightning.
So you wonder, you think he's probably saying to himself, hold on, guys, I mean, we got the same momentum Detroit had. That went to seven games. We're outplaying them. They start off okay, and then they get pushed a bit, and they back off. So that's what I think the angle would be. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, a Saturday night game in Montreal is just, you know, I mean, not much better than that unless you're a Jets fan and want to see a Jets game on Saturday night. But if you're a hockey fan, Saturday night in Montreal is like a religious experience.
It's going to be an electric atmosphere.
It'll be a great atmosphere. When we come back, and if you didn't know, you weren't aware, we're at the Canadiens Polo Park for the Hockey Manitoba 100th Anniversary Gala, and you're listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show. When we come back, we're hoping to have Dan O'Toole on, and if he can't make it, we're going to bring on DeAndre.
Via video conference.
What's a Periscope?
Down Periscope.
You're listening to TSN 1290. Half past five, live at Canadiens Polo Park. You're listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show. Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Manouk, Jesse Peltier, getting us on and off the air. And, of course, Corey back at 1290 doing a terrific job. We're at the Hockey Manitoba 100th Anniversary Gala, and it is jam-packed. And here we got some Paul Simon playing in the background. I'm not sure if this is a live performance.
I don't think it's Paul Simon, though.
I don't think Paul Simon's here.
Richie, this place is really filled up. I mean, we were here earlier around 3, and, you know, it was just us here. And now, you know, it's starting to, you know, people are... there's some hors d'oeuvres flowing around. Yeah, some
I saw your little hand. You know, it's interesting that we're stationed right beside the bar, which of course is where everybody is flowing towards. We're supposed to have Dan O'Toole on this segment, and if Dan doesn't come on,
Dave Manouk.
No, if Dan doesn't come on, we're going to talk about how Dan O'Toole is not coming on the segment.
Yeah, we'll just have a 15-minute segment about nothing.
Getting big time by Dan O'Toole.
Well, you know, we Drew and I, you know, saw...
Who's Drew?
Saw Jay Onright.
He was in Winnipeg.
And we were talking to him. Of course, he's going to be live via video while Dan O'Toole hosts. So, you know, Jay Onright... Jay Onright and Dan O'Toole, I think those are the two funniest guys that have ever done sports on TV. Like, those guys on TSN killed it for years.
Killed it, yeah. Absolutely.
And, you know, Jay Onright used to live in Winnipeg and do TV in Winnipeg. You know, excited to meet Dan O'Toole because those guys, especially, you know, don't see him as much now, Richie, that they're on Fox, but on SportsCenter for years. You know, basically, I stayed up late and watched those guys do the highlights for years.
I still stay up late and watch the highlights because they're not on there anymore. But anyway, you know, it was funny. But this segment's brought to you by Not Auto Corp. Be sure to visit their beautiful new luxury auto and art gallery at the corner of Waverly and McGilvery. For more information, check them out online at notautocorp.com. Maybe they'll drive Dan down here in a not vehicle. Or maybe he just will not appear on the show. In any event, guys, it's been a great time coming down here, and you're seeing a lot of familiar faces. You know, for us, going to all the Jets games, you see a lot of faces at those games, and it's nice to, you know, celebrate the history of 100 years of Hockey Manitoba, and we all played and, you know, all took part in the, you know, youth hockey or coaching or whatever. And Jesse, of course, coaches now, so it's pretty special to be here right now, and it's and an exciting time. That's all the hors d'oeuvres, I know.
Yeah, the hors d'oeuvres girls.
No, but Richie, they keep coming by the table and offering me hors d'oeuvres because they obviously know that I'm a guy that looks hungry and likes to nosh. So it's tough for me to resist here.
You like to nosh.
You know, Richie, we're all hockey guys, obviously. We all grew up in Winnipeg. We watched the Jets play. And I think it's really special. You know, you got the Brandon Weekings, who unfortunately lost last night to the Colorado Rockets. They play again tonight.
4-3, yeah. But last night's game was sold out.
You got the Weekings playing. I mean, you know, we talked about the RBC Cup. And, you know, you've got so many good players from Manitoba right now competing for the Stanley Cup, starting with Jonathan Toews. You got Dale Weiss. You got a lot of good players from Manitoba. So I mean, it's really a culmination. Hockey Manitoba has done a great year all year promoting this event, and you know, it's awesome to see a lot of the faces. And there's going to be more faces coming here, and it's really awesome.
Let's talk about Hockey Canada World Championships. Canada played France this morning. I was able to watch a replay, actually. A different game. He plays France. It's not as fast. But Canada, they come up 4-3 victory for Canada. They clinch and they're going to the quarterfinals. What were your thoughts on the game today?
Well, I didn't catch much of it, Richie. I caught Canada's game against Sweden, which is spectacular. They came back and won down from 3-0. And, you know, to me, I always love this tournament. And, you know, Canada, again, you mentioned they're going to be clinching. There's some great players there. With Sidney Crosby and Claude Giroux, you don't see those guys a lot in this tournament. They're usually competing for the Stanley Cup, but you know, it's nice to see Todd McClellan, especially you know after what happened in San Jose. It's nice to see him, you know, and what he's doing with this team.
Andy Murray has now joined us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. They're pulling them out. Sorry, we've kind of hijacked you there, Andy. But
no problem.
Looking forward to having you on. Actually, you know, might as well transition right. We were talking about the World Championships as you came on. Of course, you've coached internationally on many occasions. What is it like, that tournament, you know, after the season is over for many of these players, but they're able to extend it and spend time with players that they might play with in the Olympics later on or in future teams? What's the experience like?
Well, I think first and foremost, you put the Canadian jersey on. And it doesn't matter whether it's the Spangler Cup or a Pee Wee tournament or whatever it is. You put that jersey on, there's a responsibility that comes with it. Now, I've coached in it 3 times, it's a type of situation, the end of the season, obviously you're disappointed that either you didn't make the playoffs or you got beat in the first round. But I'll tell you, I can tell you as a coach, the best feeling in the world is when you give a Joe Sakic or a Rob Blake or a Steve Yzerman a call to come and play for Canada at the World Championships. They're not being paid. It's something that they've been through a tough year. The bodies are hurting. And you get Joe saying, Andy, I'll be there. You know, it's more than the games. It's just the fact that they're prepared to do that after an 82-game schedule, in some cases haven't played a hard playoff round there. So you get there and you realize how important the World Championships is in the overall spectrum of hockey in the world. The press conferences, they're bigger than any Stanley Cup playoff press conference that I've ever been at. I mean, you're talking hundreds of journalists, the interview lines after the games. And, you know, we also, at times there's feelings in the National Hockey League that some of those players that are non-Canadian or non-American like to get over to the World Championship. So you kind of wonder about that sometimes when you watch their play. You watch their play at the end of the year in the playoffs. But, you know, certainly I believe that's changed as well. But it's a huge deal. And to me, I always felt that it was a major responsibility. When I was asked to coach, I was going to do whatever they asked me to do.
So Andy, we've had you on the show before, and Richie did a Saturday spotlight where we went over your entire career. And, you know, Richie mentioned the World Hockey Championships. You coached Canada to 3 gold medals at the World Hockey Championships, if I'm not mistaken. You know, when you talk about your career, and now you're, of course, in the NCAA with Western Michigan, you got to coach a lot of good players. Danny DeKeyser, people will know, of course, plays for the Red Wings now. But when you look at your entire career, both locally, internationally, in the NHL, how proud have you been to be from Manitoba and to carry that flag? Because everyone associates you with one of the great coaches being from Manitoba.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I mean, I think when I was inducted into the International Hall of Fame a couple of years ago, and my acceptance speech, it was quite an honor. My acceptance speech was the fact that I was proud to be from Souris, Manitoba. And every time I coached at whatever level, whether it was National Hockey League or in World Championships, I was representing the coaching fraternity in Manitoba. I felt I was representing every one of them. I just happened to be in the right place at the right time to get these opportunities. And that always drove me to be as good as I could possibly be, because I was an extension of what we have here in Manitoba. And by the way, hockey in Manitoba is pretty good. You look at the success of the Jets, the Wheat Kings. Portage Terriers got a chance to win the Royal Bank Cup. I believe we had 8 players picked in the first round in the WHL draft. We got a number of top college players. We've got Paul Stojkovic for Winnipeg playing for us at Western. So I'm a pretty proud Manitoba. I'm excited to be here tonight.
Now, your name is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, when I went to Souris, home of Andy Murray is up there prominently. I mean, you have a connection to Manitoba hockey. And I guess the question would be, what does it mean when you're here and you see the 100th anniversary and all of these faces and stuff?
Well, it makes me realize I've been here for a lot of it because I'm 64 years old now. But, no, it's a special event. And, you know, I was at a coaching conference in Florida with the college coaches and made sure I could make my way up for this. It's special recognition. But more than that, it's recognition to me of all the volunteers that make hockey in Manitoba work, all of the youth coaches, all of the people with Hockey Manitoba that work in the background to make sure that our young players have the opportunity to play this great game. So it's a salute to all those people. It's a salute to the Frank McKinnons, the Gladwin Scotts, the Bob Caldwells, and so many other people that have contributed greatly to the game here in Manitoba.
I'm going to let you go on this last question, Andy. We appreciate you joining us. I'll let you get back to...
Who's going to win the cup?
I'm not going to ask it. I'd like to ask it. If we had more time, we'd have a lot more questions. But, you know, your career, you know, coming from Souris, as you mentioned, though, having coached at so many different levels and internationally in the National Hockey League with St. Louis and Los Angeles, some of those L.A. teams, I still think, you know, got unlucky, the squads that you had there, and I'd like to even get into that. But when you take a step back, and you've kind of alluded to it so far, you know, you've kind of coached at every level possible. Do you ever think how special that is to have maybe, you didn't coach in the NHL all those years, but you've experienced so many things that other people haven't experienced.
Yeah, you know, really what I'm trying to do, guys, is avoid getting a real job. I mean, my family's in the automobile business, as you know, and they keep telling me that I got to come back and get in the car business, and I'm trying to hold them off for a few more years, and I'm going to try and fool people as much as I can here over the next few years. And you're right. I mean, it's interesting. Everybody said, and there were some NHL jobs I could have taken, but I took the college job because I'd never done it. And you only live one life, and you got to experience it all. And it was on my bucket list to do. My 3 kids all played college hockey. Never really got to see many of their games, but I always admired the role that these college coaches had and the responsibilities, and I wanted to do it. So, you know, I've never, if anybody looked at my career path and said, this is the way you get to the NHL, they'd say, are you crazy? I just do what makes me happy, and that is a challenge, and I love coaching. I could be coaching a Pee Wee team or any other level.
Well, thanks very much for joining us. You have a friend who's dropped off a nice gift, so we'll let you get back to it. Andy Murray, thanks very much for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
That was Bob Caldwell from Deloraine that dropped that off, and his team, the Deloraine Royals, are going into the Manitoba Hockey Hall of Fame, and I'm really surprised by that because it should have been the Cirrus Elks.
Well played. So that's great. Andy Murray, thanks for joining us. We are at Hockey Manitoba 100th Anniversary Gala at Polo Park, Canad Inns. We're going to go to a quick break. We're going to come back with Dan O'Toole. You've been waiting for him. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290.
Oh, crap. I lost a card.
Final segment
there
on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. No, this is good. Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg, Jesse Peltier, and, of course, that was the voice of Dan O'Toole. We are live at the Hockey Manitoba 100th Anniversary Gala, and Dan's getting ready to host. Reviewing a few of the cue cards. How are you feeling so far?
I'm feeling great. We've got some Springsteen being played next to us here.
Oh, boy.
Life's good.
A Springsteen
Dan,
fan.
If you want to talk, this is Richie's a huge Springsteen fan. We could do a 10-minute segment right now just on a few albums.
So here's the thing. I was watching a Springsteen. We have a station in the States that always shows concerts, and I stumbled upon an old Springsteen concert. Is that someone's pubic hair on the desk here? Is that a pubic?
That might be one of my beard hairs, Dan.
But I don't have great hair, so follicles. So that could very easily just be one of my hair follicles.
Anyway, guys, so I was watching the Springsteen video, and it was from a concert in like 99, 2000. And he was looking weathered then, and he was a bit chubbier. He's had work done. He's had a lot of facial work done because I went to look to current modern-day photos, and it's a lot tighter in the face area.
Either that or he's on the paleo diet.
Maybe. He did lose weight. I know that.
Yeah, he has lost weight. But that's interesting. How much weight has he lost? 10, 15 pounds probably?
I don't know, but Dan, I think, has given it to me.
So go back. You had to look, just like you have to look at LeBron side by side with his old hair and his current hair.
Yep.
Which we did the other night at work, and he's had work done on his hair.
Tom Brady, too.
Tom Brady, for sure.
That's an obvious one.
Yes.
There's some plugs. No questions.
Nobody talks about Brady holding up Super Bowl trophy in his rookie year and the lack of hair then as compared to now with that full head of hair.
Hey, it's Tom Brady. You don't question it.
So you're fortunate, Dan, the full head of hair.
It's just like Springsteen. You don't question it,
that's
but true. I'm questioning it.
So what do you think of Deflategate?
As I said, I couldn't believe that we wrote, a 236-page article on balls. Guys, aren't there more pressing issues in the world? So what do you guys think? What is his punishment going to be?
I think max will be four games.
Yeah, because right now in Vegas, it's the over-under is 3.5.
Yeah, I think max is four. I think he'll get two.
If it was a crap quarterback, it'd be like 6.
Oh, 100%.
Let's all admit that.
Yeah, 100%.
For sure. I think he's got to get something because of the stakes, and now everything's leaking out, and the integrity, what's been going on with the NFL. Yeah, absolutely. He's got to, if it's 2-4, whatever, he's got to get suspended.
Here's my question about this whole report. How did they get cell phone text messages from these two Yahoos?
They voluntarily gave them up.
Yeah.
They did?
Yeah, Brady wouldn't give his up. That's what happened.
Because I was going to say, okay, they get these so easy, but they can't get the Ray Rice video from a casino where there's cameras everywhere.
That's closing. A casino that's closing.
Yeah. It's, anyway.
Dan, how has the transition been for you? We'll talk about you for a bit, and then we'll talk about the Hockey Manitoba event that, of course, you're hosting. How's the transition been for you to Fox Sports 1?
Transition's been great. We've gone from, during hockey season, doing 45 minutes of highlights to start a highlight show to doing 5 minutes near the back end. So that was the biggest jarring adjustment. We're two countries that are connected by a border, but our appetites for sports are so wide. It's a massive chasm. I always tell people this story. We can lead with about 10 football games, college football games, on our station at Fox Sports 1, which would never see the light of day on TSN unless someone died in that football game. So it's going from zero in college sports to a 100, and it's impossible not to get wrapped up in the college atmosphere because NFL's massive in the States, but college football is a very close second. It is huge.
We're joined by Dan O'Toole at the 100th anniversary gala for Hockey Manitoba. And Dan, I was just reading, you know, yesterday before you came on, your ratings spiked big time, up 75%, I saw recently. So
wasn't Jay on vacation, though?
Well, it's easy to spike when you go from 2 viewers to 10. So that's easy to spike. The biggest thing is live programming. We finally, we're finally getting some live programming. Actually, I'm missing a big night tonight. We've got a NASCAR Sprint Cup race from Kansas on our air, so it's on Fox Sports 1. And that's huge because that's going to bring us 4 or 5 million new eyeballs. So we have events like that in UFC. We've also piggybacked on, and Conor McGregor has been a blessing for us, so we just hope that he wins his fight this summer.
So this is what I also wanted to ask you about, this battle, which is hilarious.
By the way, this pube has got me transfixed.
Nobody's touched
can
it
we
yet,
get by the someone
way.
To take that
can
off
somebody
the
please
table?
Bring
Does
some
anyone
kind
have
of a fan?
Guys, we've got Dan O'Toole here.
I want to do
Let's
a DNA analysis just to prove that it actually isn't mine.
I wouldn't be surprised. I was sitting there earlier, and I got
that
a little bit
true.
Of a
you
beard
are,
going
yeah,
here. So
maybe it is.
I apologize, Dan.
I don't know.
I should have worn a beard bun.
We're on the radio, Dan. Of course, you guys do your great podcast, Jane Dan podcast, but your battle, your and Jay's battle with Mike Francesa at Mic'd Up is legendary. People haven't checked it out. Check it out on, I guess, YouTube. But
we have to thank Jay for taking the high road on that one, because after I saw the clip someone sent, I said, oh, Mike Francesa, bash you guys. If people don't know, he is the Pope of sports yes. in New York radio. If you like sports, you listen to his afternoon drive show. And he said, no one watches. No one knows who these guys are. They could walk through Times Square and no one would have a clue who they are. So I took offense to that. I'm like, who is this guy? We're supposed to be on the same team. His show is simulcast
right.
on our air. And then Jay was brilliant. He just said, hey, well, let's work together, essentially. And then he had some fun with Mike Francesa fake promos. And then Mike read
so
some
funny.
Of our promos. So it all worked out. So kill him with kindness. Is what I was the moral of the story.
You know, Dan, we're talking about Jay, and I was telling you off air right before you came on and got a chance to meet him. I'd never met him before. He was here, I think it was about a month ago.
He's very tall.
I'm told
he's
that
extremely tall.
And more handsome, actually, than he is on TV, which I was a little bit surprised by.
I find his
you
looks
are as well.
Jarring.
You are as well.
Looks are jarring.
Yeah, but I'm told that Jay is going to be part of this via video. So how did that work? Did he go out and buy a webcam at Best Buy or what?
We work for one of the leaders in sports broadcasting, so although you can't take a direct flight from L.A. to Winnipeg, you can get a direct satellite signal. So Jay is on the desk tonight. So
okay.
we've got him live via satellite. We're going to check in with him a few times tonight. So I don't know what he's got planned, but I'm sure it's something.
Hopefully
fun.
He hasn't taken a nap or something like that.
He might. Because we're off our energy drinks. We have given up yerba mate. We got off NOS. We were on really high-octane energy drinks.
This is very L.A. right now.
This is very L.A.
We got really chubby. We got really chubby. You drink nothing but energy drinks, then you go to Russia for a month and drink nothing but vodka and eat McDonald's. You are not going to feel well.
So not even Red Bull, nothing?
No, we're going cold turkey.
Okay.
And I think he's going to have an energy drink tonight, so he might be a bit haywire.
So is it going to be like when Jay did the trade deadline in his robe and the coffee cup?
I think he'll be in a suit because he'll be at work. So
you never know.
Fully clothed. I don't know.
He might not be wearing pants, but at least from up here you can see.
Exactly. And there will be lots of pubes on the desk.
Dan, you know, when you talk, like you're.
When you talk about pubes.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you another question about that. No. You know, hosting, I know you've obviously prepared something, but for an event like this, you know, 100 years of Hockey Manitoba.
Wait, it's 100?
100. 100.
Down. Okay. I thought it was 10 years.
100. Okay.
I'll correct that in my notes.
How do you. I'm sure you've done events like this before, but, you know. First off, do you like doing these types of events?
I love these events. It's amazing to get just thrown right into a province's culture. You get a crash course in everything Manitoba. So as you can see here, I'm holding a clipboard. I don't know how many pages this is, but I have to go through all of this. Yes, I wrote when we're having salad. So I write some of my own notes.
And real penmanship there.
It's got some Fox Sports Live notes.
And a lot of times during these events, you get most of your notes during the event because things are happening and such. And I got some antidotes to... Is it antidotes? It's not...
No.
An antidote
is if you have a problem here, you need an antidote.
Have we got that pube off the table, by the way?
Still there.
I've got some anecdotes.
If you don't think I'm taking a picture and tweeting that from the Leo Curve account.
There we go. We got a pube cover. There we go. Shark Tank. Go to Shark Tank with that. Hey, O'Leary, invest in this.
Yeah, O'Leary here. We're getting offered hors d'oeuvres. So if you want one, Dan, we can obviously destroy Ezzy.
No,
you can,
we can they wait. Look delicious.
Yeah, now, is that tuna?
You like living in the States?
I do. Here's the one thing I always tell people. Booze is really cheap.
Real cheap.
Yeah, we lived in the U.S.
Like, extremely cheap. My wife kept giving me trouble because I go to the grocery store and I come back with like 5 26ers, 6 cases. She's like, the booze isn't going anywhere. I'm like, but it might. They might put up the prices.
You're almost losing money if you don't drink.
Exactly. It's cheaper than water, which I think it actually is. That was the biggest difference. And the vast array of chain restaurants. But although,
there's a lot of chain.
I saw Chick-fil-A has now in Canada. There's one at the Calgary airport.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Carl's Jr. is now in Canada.
Oh, wow.
But you guys still don't have In-N-Out Burger, which...
Dan, my weekends are about to change. More Subway and McDonald's for me.
Yeah, well, any more plugs for these fast food chains?
And that's the one that has to come to Canada. My favorite sub chain now, Jersey Mike's.
What's that?
It's just delicious.
Jersey Mike's.
Yeah.
Is it an Eastern one? Or?
It was started in New Jersey, and now it's hit California, and it's going gangbusters. If you ever get a chance, it's delicious. Subway's not a sponsor, are they?
No.
No. Yeah, don't worry.
How long has their meat been sitting out? It's just like, and they're everything's sweating. And it's just, there's no love.
Are we talking about the people who actually prepare your food? Or?
All of it. The entire situation. I go in there depressed.
Well, yeah, usually you don't want to taste yoga mats in your bread. That's first and foremost, I don't want to be chewing a yoga mat.
Yeah.
And secondly, bring in some new, like, they've had the cold cut combo for, I actually had Subway for lunch today. It's great.
Jay Glazer, who we work with, our NFL insider, he's got the Subway Gold card because he does the advertising.
Oh, okay.
And Subway, pick a spokesperson.
I agree with that, too.
And maybe if you're showing all these athletes in a commercial, font them, put their names there, because a casual sports fan is not going to notice half these guys. No one outside of maybe California and a lot of hotbeds in baseball knows who Mike Trout is.
Yeah.
Don't just put him there and expect us to know him. And why are you paying these many people?
I think
Save your money.
It's time to bring Jared back, I think.
He is back.
Where is he's back? Okay.
No. I'll tell you.
By the way, we Wikipedia'd him the other day. He's worth like $30
million. Oh, yeah.
Well,
he got in on it early. They gave him a percentage.
Yeah.
Well, they paid him out in substamps.
No, you know who they need to bring back? Happy Gilmore. But Happy Gilmore did Subway commercials.
What about Clay Henry?
But seriously, is hearing about Jared's wealth not depressing? He ate Subway sandwiches.
He kind of put the weight back on, didn't he?
No.
Oh, still up?
I actually think there was a clause in his contract that said he had to keep his svelte figure or whatever it was.
He turned an unhealthy eating habit, well, I guess they said it was healthy, into a fortune.
Yeah, exactly.
If only you could do that, S.
I got to find a place.
We'll leave it at that. Dan O'Toole, appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks,
you're going to be hosting, of course, the 100th anniversary Hockey Manitoba Gala, and we're at Canadiens Polo Park. We appreciate it very much. Oh, boy.
It's a heavy one.
This pube is not moving, and we're going to have to end the show now before there is a distraction. I want to thank our guest today, Reggie Leach, the Riverton Rifle, Dan O'Toole, Fox Sports 1, of course, formerly of TSN, Matt Lachlan at WFAN. WFAN, of course, with Mike Francesa does his show.
Right.
So everything is connecting today. Jesse Pelletier did a great job. Ezra Ginsberg, Corey back in the studio, Dave Manuk, I'm Richard Pollock. We'll see you next week at our usual time, 9 a.m.